fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to another Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing to bask in the glory and the grace of this Easter season, remembering Christ's victory over the powers of sin and death and the offer of salvation and eternal life to the whole world. God in his mercy, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs last week, kind of the post-Easter programs, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them and listen to them on your iPod. It's such an important time of the church year, and especially in this Jubilee Year of Mercy, is we can see through the readings each day in the Acts of the Apostles, the unfolding of the kingdom of God, and I especially summarized it last Friday, how the Lord is opening up his church. What's the starting point of the church? The church is born of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the church is that body of people in the earth that is filled with the Spirit and then moved by the Spirit into the mission. The apostles were the first fruits of what St. Peter declared on that day of Pentecost when he stood up and the crowd that was gathered for that feast, that pilgrim feast in Israel, he stood up and said to them, as they were shocked at what they were seeing, because it was clear that something was happening to the apostles, and they were just these simple fishermen and others who were suddenly anointed with amazing spiritual grace and power, and speaking in tongues and a whole range of things. And then Peter stood up and said, what they're seeing is the fulfillment of the promise of the prophet Joel. One of the prophets of the Old Testament said that in the time of the last days of human history, God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And Peter said, this is what's happening. God's Spirit has been poured out in this final stage of human history, this messianic age, because Jesus Christ is risen and he's at the right hand of God the Father. And something entirely new has begun. The kingdom of God will now go forth in power across the face of the earth through the anointing, leading, guiding, and empowerment by the Holy Spirit. So all last week, we watched how step by step it began to unfold. Peter declared, what is this all about? What's the message that we're witnessing to? And then he began to do works, the kind of works that Jesus did, beginning with healing the lame man, the lame beggar at the Gate Beautiful, which immediately gave them an opportunity right there in the temple to be able to proclaim the gospel and to testify to the truth that Jesus Christ is risen, that he's the Lord. He's calling all now to repent and to turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins so that they can be cleansed of all the power of sin and death and come into a new relationship with God to receive power to become children of God and to enter into that kingdom. And it said now there were 5,000 people, 2,000 more were added to their number since the day of Pentecost. And so the community was growing. How was it growing? Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, through the proclamation of the gospel, through the presence of signs and wonders, to calling people to repentance, through baptism and the rest. These things are all unfolding there. And this is the beginning and the essence of the life of the church. And today's the Feast of the Annunciation, the remembering that when the first disciple was called, you might say, when Jesus, the Father, through the work of the Holy Spirit, began this special moment, this last hour, by sending the angel Gabriel to speak to Mary and to be the witness. This is so interesting. It all begins, Christianity and salvation and mercy, all begins in the heart of God the Father. Christianity is the heart of God going in search to seek and save the lost. That's what it is. It's the love of God. And the Father and the Son send forth the angel Gabriel. He's a witness. He's testifying to what he knows the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are about to do for the salvation of the world. And the angel Gabriel goes to Mary. I just want to read that. It's a bit of a lengthy gospel, but it's very important because you see how much of the whole work of salvation is a work of the Spirit and how God calls us. And it's important to see who he calls as well. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Gabriel knew, before Mary knew, what God had done, that she was chosen and that she was filled with grace by virtue of God's action. And the mystery here, the mystery that makes Mary who she is that the death of her son who has not yet been born, the grace of Jesus' cross by God's power was given to Mary at her own conception, as we know, and we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. She was preserved from the stain of original sin. She's particularly graced, that is, gifted, not by her own strength, but by God's choice. He goes on, "But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" She's the highly favored daughter. Everything that happens to Mary, that sets Mary apart, is a work of God. It's not a work of Mary, though she cooperates with it. But it originates with God, and it's made possible by God. Then it goes on, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." It's amazing when you think about it. This is the angel Gabriel sent from heaven, declaring to Mary the coming of the Son of God who will reign forever. God intends his kingdom to come to the earth in his Son. He's going to come to establish it. And he's going to come through Mary. This poor, simple child that is poor, like she's not a person of great means. She probably wasn't very well known. She certainly didn't have much influence. She didn't have power in the world's understanding of power. And here God chooses her. This is what God always does. You know, next year is going to be the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Who did God choose? Who did Mary choose to bring the message of Fatima to children? No power, no influence. God is not impressed with the gold and the glory and what the world is impressed with, what the world calls power. It's really nothing in the eyes of God, absolutely nothing. The reading goes on. "But Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?' And the angel said to her in reply, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" Friends, the work of salvation from beginning to end is a work of God. And the Holy Spirit is the agent through which the Father and the Son extend the kingdom and bring this mission about. Mary will be overshadowed by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon her. Remember what happened when it was time for Jesus to begin his ministry. He was in the River Jordan. What happened when his cousin John baptized him? The Holy Spirit came upon him. What happened before the apostles began to proclaim the gospel? What moved them out of the upper room? Jesus told them to wait for. What did he tell them to wait for? The Holy Spirit. "You shall receive power," he said. "You will be clothed with power." God's kingdom goes forward in history through God's initiative and through the power of the Holy Spirit falling on human beings, coming to human beings who cooperate with that work of God in their life. So the reading continues. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." This is another very consistent and important sign. What is barren now is able to bring forth life. Why? Because God's showing up. Because the Holy Spirit comes. God is life. God creates. God makes all things new. And John is going to be born of a woman of older age. It kind of reminds us of Abraham and Sarah. When God gave the promise, really, Abraham was maybe the first to say yes, chronologically and historically. And we call Abraham our father in faith. That's in the liturgy, in the Eucharist. And he said yes to God. He believed the impossible was possible. He did the same thing when he was asked to, when the Lord commanded him to offer up Isaac. And it completely confounded him. But he knew that with God all things are possible, that God could literally raise something from the dead. God could bring life into the dead womb of Elizabeth. God can make all things new, including you, friend, and including me. No matter what you're facing now, maybe an addiction, maybe a sickness, maybe a depression, a discouragement, failure, shame, isolation, loneliness, whatever it is, it may feel like it's too big. And on your own strength, it is too big. But friend, nothing is impossible with God. He wants to overshadow you with His Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He wants you to know the power of His life in you. And here's Mary's response. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Mission accomplished. I added that last part, mission accomplished. Mary didn't say, well, look, I'm doing the math on this. I just can't see how this is going to work. It doesn't really make sense. I can't even believe you chose me. I mean, I'm nothing. Who am I? Plus, how can someone be born in my womb? How can this child be born in my womb? And what does it mean that the Holy Spirit's overshadowing me? And how can this be? Here's the response of a disciple. Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. That's the prayer that Jesus prayed. Jesus was raised by a mother and then a father himself, though not quite as good as Mary, obviously. But Jesus was raised in a domestic church. He was raised with two disciples whose hearts were directed toward God in this way. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Now, the angel was teaching Mary something, that with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. That's what your guardian angel wants to teach you, to teach me. That with God, all things are possible. Everything He commands us to do, friends, is possible. Every calling and commission He put on your life in your baptism and confirmation is possible. Lean on the promises of God. Follow in the footsteps of Mary. And let's just end, Mary. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Pray for us that we could be disciples like you, saying yes to Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May His will be done unto us according to thy word. Amen.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.